comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
We're going live. Are you mad? I'm mad. I'm mad about the government. I'm mad about the media. I'm mad about it all.
What's good? What's good?
Welcome to the podcast. Another few weeks have passed.
I was at the laundromat and I saw a guy wearing a t-shirt that said, "I hate Alex Jones" on the front. And on the back it said, "Don't go to Infowars.com." And I thought that was pretty funny.
That sums it up. That sums up his business strategy. That sums up our whole cultural moment.
But that's us. We're going to do that. It's okay if this comes across as unsavory and distasteful to 95% of people, because it's the 5% of sickos and gooners and porno addicts out there who we're going to reach that are going to help us change the world. And we're going to, the Gooner Army
is going to take over the world. And there's no stopping us, government.
So these folks, this target, portion of our audience is sticking around through all of the depressing car death, pedestrian fatality content, just so that they can hear, maybe 3 minutes of Alex Jones voicing their opinions.
I have some good car crashes this week. Not that any of them are good, but
I have some normal, cultural takeaways. I spent most of the last week in New Orleans, so
wow.
I know our podcast is often about jazz and about very walkable infrastructure, so I have some reflections on that that we'll get to in a little bit.
Tell me about the French and their quarter.
Well, one of the most interesting things I learned was that the French Quarter, like a lot of historic districts throughout the United States, is run by a very strict code of rules of building, aesthetic rules. There's, I believe, 27 or 28 colors that are approved that you can paint a building in the French Quarter, which, I think it runs sort of counter to its reputation as a place where anything goes. And so it's just interesting that, and there was a huge, movement in New Orleans that saved the French Quarter when it was going to be knocked down in favor of building housing projects and, office building high rises. And so, kudos to those folks. But part of the way that they did that is by strengthening things that we typically don't love, exclusionary zoning and things like that. But the fabric is just so good that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still a cool place to be a pedestrian and walk around. And yeah, it's covered in tourists, but it's just nice to be around people generally. I had a really good time.
Yeah. It's NIMBYism is cool. Sort of if the place you preserve doesn't suck.
Yeah. Well, and it's you still can't be a NIMBY. It can't be exclusionary, right? We don't want to be, we don't want to build our cities by saying you can't build that here. But it's being open-minded enough to say, okay, well, can the city change or should the city not change? I think that's, a valid thing to consider, without giving into any NIMBYism. One of the coolest things that I got to do was be a part of a second line after a wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony. It was at the Pharmacy Museum, if you've been there, listeners. And we second lined all the way around and up and out of the French Quarter. And there was a police escort literally shutting down traffic throughout. People were filming us. And it was just a really cool way to celebrate love and celebrate their union. It was definitely one of the most special things that I've ever done. And it was also remarkable because in no other U.S. city can a fairly average couple, no offense, Michael and Sigrid, a fairly average couple pay enough to shut down the entire city, essentially, like shut down traffic through the urban core of the city.
Well, they
shut
down car traffic. They love parades. They like.
Oh yeah.
I think the vibe there is like, hey, everyone gets a parade if you want one. I don't think it's.
If you want one.
I think you just write the city like, hey, we're having a parade, and then they send a cop, right?
Exactly. I think that that's wonderful, and it's just in contrast with the culture of so many of our cities. So it's cool to, I guess, still be inside of the Wicked Empire and feel some fondness towards, like, urban infrastructure. Because so often I'm just angry at the street.
Yeah, yeah. The Zydeco is free tonight, boys. Come on in.
I did walk once up into, like, the American Quarter where all the skyscrapers are, and it's just amazing how, like, immediately bleak everything seems. It's a place where you can really experience that juxtaposition of culture.
People who can't drive. My notes are gibberish. It just says, two horse and buggy crashes, communities who don't drive, Amish, blind people, intellectual disabilities, the elderly, children, physical disfigurement. that's the notes for the episode. This is the things I wanted to touch on. But no, dude, two horse and buggies got popped in the same like week on different sides of the country. And it's like, are there that many Amish people?
By cars, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, are there that many Amish people out here on the roadways? And it's like, oh, shit.
Were they like private? Were they private vehicles, or were they like, you know, tour horse and buggies? I saw a lot of tour-oriented horse and buggies.
No. Like, going to the store, going, transportation horse and buggies. Not that it matters.
Like, daily utility.
Like, a 13-year-old girl got hit with a BMW and died. And it's just like, I don't know, if a community of people doesn't drive, should their roads be freeways?
No. But basically anyone, if they got out of a car and spent any amount of time in, I mean, even some of our city streets, they would realize. But the whole world is so catered towards it that it disregards entire communities.
This article, okay, here's one article about a horse and buggy death. Oh, my goodness. Riverland, Michigan. On Saturday, April 12th, a truck collided with a horse-drawn buggy in rural Delta County. Two Amish women and two children were thrown as the truck destroyed the carriage. The sheriff's department said it happened in Riverland on 18th Road near H-25, about 20 minutes northwest of Escanaba. Ron Germain, who owns a historic farm at the intersection, said, while the buggies are a common sight, so are speeding cars. You assume it was bound to happen at some point, because cars don't always slow down for them, said Germain. Some of them go crazy fast for a country road. While people close with the crash survivors have expressed renewed concern about speeders, a friend of the family told us what happened this time was an accident. It could have happened to anybody, said Michaela Van Enkvoort. When he came out of the lane to pass them, he saw a car coming up over the hill, so he went to go get back in his lane and misjudged how close he was to the buggy. She said before he could correct course, the driver had clipped the rear of the carriage.
Do you think that she'll get a memorial chunk of freeway?
I doubt it. One child was able to walk away from the crash, and days later, the 13-year-old checked out of the hospital with only a broken leg. The two adult sisters riding with them weren't so lucky.
Okay, but the kid lived?
I don't know.
Doubting
someone
dies.
It was a fatal crash.
It just said she was fine, but the two adult passengers were not.
Horse and buggy, man. But yeah, like brutal. Women and children getting hit with a car. This article goes into an insane amount of detail. I was really digging for some of these drunk driving Hall of Fame posts, and I couldn't find some of these people who maxed out the BAC field. Like, there's like no writing about any of it. And that's terrifying. Siblings ages 13, 10, and 9 dead in car buggy crash in Marshall County, Indiana. So three kids were hit by a BMW, a 17-year-old in a BMW. And if you go to Street View at that spot, there's like an Amish guy on a bike, you know. So it's not unclear how the community uses the road. It's just like, if there were a system in place where these engineering practices actually serve the community, if there were any kind of feedback loop at all, would this have happened?
Well, I mean, I think my argument is that I assume that the road that you're talking about has served essentially the same function for automobiles for at least the last 30 years and probably more like the last 60 to 70. But Amish people have been biking along that road the whole time. Their community their use never changed on the road. And so I think that there's some self-awareness of governments and there's some feedback loop that, you know, an interesting thought on the distribution of deaths being a reason for why people can tolerate them so much is because they don't happen in the same place a whole lot. The death map is fascinating because it shows us all of the places, but very infrequently are those places like the exact same. You know, even if it's 10 or 5 or 3 feet from place to place, it's hard to pinpoint. And so it feels indiscriminate. And especially on like a place that an Amish person is biking from their farm into a market, I think it makes sense that there hasn't been action, because how many buggies have been hit in the last 60 years? 2, 3?
No, all the time. All the time. They're like, just like cyclists, it's a class of vulnerable road user. It's like slow vehicles.
I agree. I just mean, like, along that road, it helps people diffuse the problem into something. Oh, well, I'm not responsible for that, even though I drive my car down it every day. I'm not being violent. That's their perspective. I'm not saying it's right.
Like, how do you miss a horse and buggy?
You're given the power of 400 horses.
No, I've been thinking about how I Googled asphalt the other day to learn about asphalt. And then it said, like,
smart.
The first line on Wikipedia is like, asphalt, or as it is also known, tar, is a byproduct, is a petroleum product. But basically, you get tar when you refine oil into fuel. So we cover the earth in that. We'll cover.
Got to,
like,
put it somewhere.
Hundreds of square miles of urban areas in tar, which, when you heat it,
well, it's not like the earth.
It releases carcinogens. So it's like in Texas, especially here in Austin, you can smell the cancer coming up off of the pavement.
It's true. It's
like
when it's
like
hot
105
in
outside, you can't stand in one place for more than like 40 seconds without having a heat stroke. And you can smell the toxic chemicals coming up off the street. In addition to like the danger and the smoke from everyone having an internal combustion engine as like an appendage to their shitty body.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking like the earth was like doing something for the environment, like the unbroken ground was. You act as if like that is a necessary part of like a breathing ecosystem.
Yeah, well, that was before we had invented.
But it's so much better
before we had invented girl dick and boy pussy, and online anime ladies.
Yeah, AI companions.
AI companions. Yeah, thank God.
No, I think it's good. I think it's good that we cover the earth and all the plants and all of its wonder in toxic chemicals that are byproducts of a process that is also destructive. I love it. I really like it.
We got to do some comparisons to other, like, safety critical systems in engineering. And let's just say for people who engineer nuclear reactors, if they had a failure rate similar to that of a freeway, like, how many people would die? How many Chernobyls a year is it if, similar rates of catastrophic failure were common in other fields of engineering? I think that would be a good comparison to make.
I mean, it's generous to call anyone a traffic engineer.
It really is. It's like it's so far from engineering, man.
Yeah. Especially in a culture where, like, the only solution is to add another lane and the only objective is to increase convenience for motor vehicle users. It's like
it's just okay. Wildly suboptimal, right? And a good engineer is supposed to be able to carefully consider trade-offs.
He's also supposed to be able to pull the train whistle and go choo-choo.
Well, that's the best kind of engineer.
Yeah, and the sexiest.
The worst kind is traffic, and then the second worst is software.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got some traffic deaths news.
No. I think that's ESPN, so that's probably not right. But
intersection in Houston that is just an absolute fucking banger.
I'm already getting excited.
Sorry, I'm getting ad blocked by the government. The government is blocking me. But I'm going to inspect the source. We're going straight to the source.
I can read an article. Which one?
Houston Chronicle. Do you get gated out? Because I am being ad blocked. Turn off your ad blocker. Fine, I'll pause my ad blocker, actually.
I've got it up.
Okay, well, simmer down, horny. It was just a banger. It was like, my mom is dead, and it's because this intersection sucks. My mom was a cute old Asian lady who liked to cross the street. And they got her. They fucking got her. And don't you dare fucking call it an accident. It was more or less what she said. Because if you look at the intersection, it's just dog shit. It's like 8 lanes, 1 median.
Sexy. That's like the road I live on. Or not right on, but that's the strode that cuts through my neighborhood, only in the north-south direction. Otherwise, the cross street isn't so bad. Ben Carnero has left the meeting, so now I'm here alone. Hello, listener. As we wait for Ben to return, I wonder what you think about what we're doing. Please remember, you can always reach us at blurbinist@gmail.com or bencarnero@gmail.com to provide any feedback.
Sorry, that was...
Your consideration is appreciated.
That's okay. I was just vibing with the listener.
Sorry, back to the physically disfigured and other groups of people who can't drive. We do this for you. We do this for Joey, the rural... Joe the plumber. A lot of these trade jobs, you do have to have a car.
Joey the unfortunately like software engineer.
I mean, most people without cars do live in an urban environment, and people who in rural areas without a car are like they're level 10 poor.
Yeah, and I mean it's a huge shift from, you know, a world where in, you know, the 1900s, like the average American family grew some large percentage of their food. Some smarter listener than me will have to chime in and tell us what that percentage is. But like, you used to be able to live rurally because you subsisted, like you grew a lot of your own food, you traded at a local market. And with the consolidation and monopolization that has been wrought by capital in the last 100-150 years, we've transformed rural areas into end arteries of city infrastructure, and it's bad city infrastructure, but they're essentially like urban in terms of their reliance upon infrastructure and systems. And the independence of rural life has been robbed in a lot of scenarios. And I respect people that go out there and try to live a truly sustainable and like rural life. Like there is something commendable about that.
Me and you are going to homestead one day. Once our wives leave us and all we have is each other, we'll go out to the farm and we'll get some dogs and a sheep.
I'll put on my prairie dress and
and I'll put on mine. We'll just hold hands in the sunset.
Mm-hmm. We'd probably last a winter.
Yeah, we'd last a winter. We do love each other. Do you want to talk about the Drunk Driving Hall of Fame?
Yeah, take us there. Take us on a trip down memory.
Okay, so how drunk can you get before it's no longer possible to drive a car?
You're asking me?
God. Well, yeah. Oh, God, so many. There's so many of these. It looks like there's definitely... I don't know. This looks like a remarkably even distribution of the 500 drunkest people in the last 20 years. No, I mean, a lot of them are men. But no, so open the spreadsheet. It's just the government will track, like, if you blow over a 0.94, they just recorded as a 0.94. So there's only been, since 2001, something like 10 people to blow over a 0.94.
It's important to note and that some of them, this spreadsheet was created by pulling information from Roadway Report. So go to roadway.report. Lots of car crash reporting contains blood alcohol level when alcohol is included. And this is information straight from the site. So I would say that's pretty incredible that this is a really cool like data tool that Ben has pulled out, ranking the people with the highest blood alcohol level in the history of car crashes, at least as long as we have recorded data.
Like this lady,
it's pretty incredible. Hats up, Ben. The listener doesn't understand what it is that you've created here, so it's really cool. It's crazy.
It's okay. We got like 10 people here who in the 21st century have like managed to drive a car and kill someone with a blood alcohol level of almost like basically 1%, like 1% alcohol.
Yeah, of nearer 1% than not.
So this one's good. This one's good. This was a lady who killed a 70-year-old man, and she blew a 1%. She was driving How'd she do this? She was driving a mid-sized Nissan, a compact utility vehicle. And the homie she killed was in a light Chevy pickup. Seatbelt. Was he wearing a seatbelt? I'm so sorry, brother.
Looking at this list also drives home for me that the vast majority of people who die in motor vehicle accidents are drivers of motor vehicles. You can see that in the distribution here.
Yeah.
Passengers or drivers. Mostly drivers. But like you're definitely more likely to perish when you're actually in a vehicle.
Yeah,
let
like
that give you hope, you humble pedestrian.
Like some of these are really sad. Like this one here was like a 24-year-old and a 25-year-old passenger. Like a guy was driving and a girl was the passenger, and they both died. And the guy blew a 1%. I looked up Brandon Michael Flores. I tried to find an obituary for him. But it's like when you blow a 1%, no one writes an obituary for you, right? Because when someone finds out the details of that, it's just like, I did find one obituary and it said basically nothing at all. It was just like, John's dead. Car crash.
The legal limit is 0.08, right?
Right. This is over 10 times the legal limit. Drunk Driving Hall of Fame. We are here to honor these greats of drunk driving. Some of whom are responsible for only their own death, and some of whom are responsible for the deaths of innocent people. So maybe we should distinguish, actually, between, because...
That's a key distinguishing factor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I still think you deserve some recognition if you're... Because most people who cause drunk driving deaths, they are not blowing in the .8s, the .7s, nay... Not even the point sixes, because by the point threes, you're puking, you're suffering alcohol poisoning, your body is shutting down.
Yeah,
right?
You're sick.
So in order to get into the point sixes, sevens, eights, it requires a sheer determination of will. It requires countless hours, perhaps even 10,000 hours of drunk driving alone. Just to be able to make it onto this list. You've got to be able to get upright, get into a car, turn it on, drive it fast enough to kill someone. It's not easy. It shouldn't be understated how hard it is to make it into the Drunk Driving Hall of Fame. And for all you folks at home,
can you
who sit and talk and want to talk shit, you will never be great. Yeah, drunk drivers, man. Is it really a crime?
Yes.
Like, are these people any worse than sober drivers? I guess somewhat.
I mean, it is. I've made the argument before on the podcast that, yeah, I mean, it's the motor vehicle that's the problem. Like, people are not going to stop drinking. And until people stop driving, we're going to have this problem. So it is the driving that's the problem. But, like, you should decrease every factor possible when you're driving a vehicle that would cause you to kill someone. And sometimes it can't be helped because driving is an inherently violent act. But you can do things to mitigate the likelihood that the energy will be outlet onto someone else on your account. One of those is like, don't text and drive, don't drink and drive.
Wait, so they hit a train? Is this a train? Did you read the train one? A motorist's attempt to beat a train resulted in 3 deaths. A driver in his 30s, a passenger in his 20s, and the driver's 5-year-old son were pronounced dead at the scene. There's an article for this one. Let me see. So who blew a .9? Jesus. So the driver of the truck blew a .27. The 5-year-old did not have an alcohol test. And then the third person in the car blew a .94. So the driver was sort of drunk. The driver blew a .27, which if I blew a .27, I'd be housed. But this person's probably an alcoholic, right? And then the passenger was the kid and someone whose age is unknown, at least on the police report. But the
passengers were trained,
according to the news. No, car passengers.
And these
tried to beat the train across the tracks, and then
got clipped.
Yeah, got trained. Oh wow. Oh, but that means that guy wasn't that wasn't even a driver who maxed out the field. It was just
that was a bad data point. Yeah, yeah.
And it also said it was like a liver test.
Did you pull
any?
So
I guess they tested the liver out of his dead body. we love that.
Yikes.
We love that.
That's
here
what happens
on
if
Roadway
you
Report.
Yeah. We love the liver test. That's our favorite way to test for blood alcohol content.
That's so true. So true. Okay, this guy blew a .8. That's so drunk. Adams, yeah. Pennsylvania. He just killed himself. He seriously injured 2 people, but he just killed himself. He blew a .8. He was he hurt two people in a mid-sized Honda, and he was driving a Ford sedan.
King shit.
It says, oh, no crash events because it's an old one. Whoa, 0.8. Fuck. One of the passengers was of the vehicle that he hit was totally ejected and was transported by a helicopter to the hospital.
But they made it.
They made it for at least 30 days. That is one thing about this data set is if you die after 31 days, it's not on the data set.
I mean, that's true. It'd be really hard to track.
So like a lot of these are like people who are like maimed forever. But don't count towards the fatality reporting system database. And everyone who goes into like a coma and then dies 6 months later, like they're not in the database. That's pretty common with trauma like this. Yeah, not everybody dies on impact. Jokes! It's a comedy podcast! We're here! We're here to tell the government to stop killing our children! Stop killing our brothers and sisters! Our fellow gooners! The gooner army has had enough! And we're going to take it to the government.
Amen.
And we're going to stick it where the sun don't shine. The government is done killing us. We're going to start killing. Okay,
you tell him, Lexi. You tell him.
Go to InfoWars.com.
Don't. God,
do
how
it.
Many of our listeners
don't
are
do
discovering
it unless you're ready
Alex
to hear
Jones.
The truth.
How many of our listeners are discovering Alex Jones because of our podcast? Hopefully none. Like, hopefully
zero.
It's just a fun reference for everyone. But I think you're definitely, it's a pipeline. It's a new pipeline to InfoWars.
Yeah. Okay, let's just pick another drum.
Yeah, you're
right. Pick another drum. Oh,
0.69.
This person blew a 0.69. And oh my goodness, Austin, Texas. Wow.
Home sweet home.
Okay, let's see. A Chevy coupe. Ooh, wow. It's a fast car. oh, and this is good, too. This is good. I was going to say because they just killed themselves because I saw there was just one vehicle involved, but no, they actually killed their female passenger, too.
Oh.
That's so sad.
At least they didn't kill a stranger? Is it better to kill someone you know or a total stranger?
A stranger? I guess.
This is an interesting
your family's
sort of,
got to mourn,
yeah,
they might as well not like, mourn
problem.
Your buddy, too.
Yeah.
Okay, they ran off the road. They were going too fast. Ice, water, snow, slush, sand, dirt, oil, or wet leaves on the road. Manslaughter or homicide.
That's a big category.
That's the moving violation. DWI, moving violation. It hit the left side of the car. It's in the older part of the data set, so there's not like a... It basically just says they ran off the road. Let's look at the spot. I don't know what deck of this, if at this point it's like a triple deck freeway. So like there's a ground level where the bike path is that I like to bike on. Like I bike under this underpass.
Yeah.
And then
I know
there's
you're describing.
Two more stories of freeway above that point. So I don't know where they flew off, but man, 0.7. How do you drink that? Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas is get so drunk in Austin, Texas that you drive on Mopac while being an entire percent alcohol.
I did bike to the bakery earlier. That was really nice. Everything's flowering in Denver. It's like 65 degrees. So it was like the middle of the day. Sun was shining. It is possible to get around this country without a car, especially if you live in the city. So, listener,
it's possible.
Take a trip. Take a trip using your feet or your legs or a fucking pogo stick. Like the next time you can, you know, feasibly make a trip, it doesn't have to be your commute. Just don't do it in your car. Just skip the car once. Just skip it once.
You could save someone's life. You could save a drunk driver's life. And you could save a child's life. You could save a child from a drunk driver. By getting on your bike today, especially if you're that drunk driver.
But again, the problem is the driving, not the drinking. So it's possible. It's way more possible every time you drive to kill someone, drinking excluded, than it is every time you drink, driving excluded.
Okay, this is sick. This is a sick one. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Austin, Texas, sick. June 17th, 2007, on US 183. First harmful event. Okay, so somebody hit the concrete traffic barrier in a Chevy compact utility vehicle. But they hit a barrier, wet roadway surface, wet, ran off the road to the right. So yeah, it looks like they just ran straight into a barrier. They did hit another car. Let's see. But no, so it was a 38-year-old who blew a .72, and then their passenger, they lived, but their passenger died, and their passenger was 26. And it's not known if they were drunk. They weren't tested. But this person, shame. Shame on this drunk driver. Could the other person possibly have been less drunk? Imagine how drunk you have to be to get into the car with the guy who's going to blow a .7. And be like, well, you know, no, yeah. Bro, you drive.
Yeah, very, very, very fair.
Nah, bro, deduction, I'm not good to drive. I'm gonna blow like a .12. I need you to drive, Mr. Alcoholic. You do this all the time.
You seem like the expert.
Yeah, nah, dude. And it's like everyone drives to the bar in Austin.
Yeah,
everyone just drives to the bar.
I'm sure that if you were to pull a data set of all drunk driving incidents, most of the incidences are way closer to the legal limit, or you know, maybe even below it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Remember, these are Hall of Fame alcoholics. These are people with a serious problem. We're not talking about your everyday drinkers here. Austin, Texas has some of the best drinkers in the world. So before you go about thinking, "Well, I want to be on the Drunk Driving Hall of Fame," remember, it'll take years of practice to get to this level. Years and years of dedication and determination. Sorry, this is getting sad. This is getting sad. I don't have any other content.
I can't think of anything funny to say. So,
I do have more emails.
Get out on your bike.
I have more Alex Jones emails.
Ah, yes. Yes. Do you want to read one of your emails to your transportation authority and sign off?
Daily reminder that you failed. Please don't forget you failed to provide any meaningful alternatives to driving. Even downtown.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You have failed.
That one's quite measured. Compared to some of your other ones, that one's measured. That one's not so bad.
Your right of way is hurting people.
That's a subject line. This is one of the ones, the only ones they replied to.
You won't. I dare you to bike to work. That's the subject line. I dare you to bike to work. You won't, because your bad right-of-way planning makes that impossible. You have failed for decades, and you are continuing to fail to make the world a better place. You should be nothing but ashamed of yourself. Your failures will affect generations to come.
They responded to that one?
Yeah, they said, I would like to inform you that you can always submit a service request to 311 about bicycle issues. The service request would be the best way to go about your concerns, and the way that you and the group that it goes to can keep track of it. So they're like, hey, dude, we don't read these.
You have failed. It's your Sammy monthly reminder that you failed to provide any meaningful alternatives to driving in the downtown area. And as a result, everybody drives everywhere. Hate you, Ben.
There's some person that reads all of these before they get deleted. Like, there must be some function for some human being to have to look at some of these emails, and they get sadder and sadder every time they read. They probably listen to the podcast.
Subject line.
Oh, hey, it's another reminder of your abject failures. Nobody rides a bike because it's not safe. Nobody rides a bike because it's not safe. Nobody rides a bike because it's not safe. Stop pretending it's safe. Stop pretending you've made it safe. You haven't made it safe. It fucking sucks. Fuck you. Fuck you so hard. You're pretending to help.
And then it just says Ben Carnero is my phone number.
My unemployable friend, everyone. Oh, well, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do
it. Here's one. Last night, someone was standing on Guad making $10 an hour, and now they have no legs because of you. There was a guy, the bouncer at the hole in the wall, was just, you know, checking people's IDs, and then someone took his legs off with a fucking sedan.
Damn.
Thank God it wasn't a truck. And then there is that incident on Barton Springs where, like, 9 teenagers trying to buy ice cream at a food truck got taken out by the same car at the same time.
Jeez, 9 people
died? And it was
died?
someone doing... That road got a road diet. 9 people got seriously injured, like incapacitated.
Oh, my gosh. And
it was like 100 yards from where I had been hit by a car.
Yeah, and it's one of the most popular pedestrian areas in the entire state. Like, you see so many people on foot around there. And, I mean, a lot of people drive to the park to go to the springs, but, like... They're still walking around. Those people's lives matter too. I don't know.
These are so good. One of these is just subject line, why do you hate black people? subject line, I hope you're forever haunted by the ghosts of the low-income people you gave asthma.
Statistically verifiable.
It's cool. Sad. I have to go to that car accident prone strip mall on Cameron Road today. I'm pretty good these days at dealing with your constant engineering failures, but there's not a single safe way to walk or bike in this area. It's a mile from my house. Hate you now and forever, Ben. And then a follow-up email. It's cool. I hate it when black people try to walk around too. And then follow-up email. I'm returning to the strip mall again tonight. It remains a mile from my house. Not safe to bike or walk. Taking 2 buses there at an average speed of 2 miles an hour. Slower than walking. I'm going to call a cab home. It's insane that you guys haven't been fired. But it's true.
Yeah, they've
it's
definitely
true. I mean,
got you on auto block,
the
bro.
Devil.
There's no way any
the devil
human beings
incarnate.
Are seeing these emails.
Why are you so bad at this? It's easier to drive an 18-wheeler through the city than a bicycle. And it's because you guys are absolutely fucking... And then, you know, it's... That word. If I were as dumb as y'all, I'd be
fine.
You're
drawing the line there? You're drawing the line there. I don't get it. Okay.
No, I mean, I said it. I said it in the email. So if anyone submits a public information request, you can catch me using the hard R word on to the transportation.
Not that.
Department.
That's not what he said. Oh, my gosh. When you say, okay.
Hard R word.
I'm done. I'm done. I've reached my limit. Listener, till next week, reach out to us.
The content can't stop. You've got to put on your big boy pants and get ready to make content, young man. Because the government's out to get you. The media's out to get you. And the big money conspiracy is out to get you. But the people won't be stopped. We're going to ride bikes. We're going to have fun. We're going to go outside. We're going to take back the streets.
The big money conspiracy is out to get you.
The big money conspiracy is out to get you. They want you to buy oil. They want you to buy tires. They want you to buy cars. But you're not going to. You're going to fight back. You're going to fight back.
You're not going to drink their tar.
Remember, Gooners, it gets better.
What?
Remember,
incomprehensible.
Gooners,
if honestly,
better.
if anybody is making sense of this, please send me an email. I'm at blurbanist@gmail.com. If you're listening and making sense of this or finding enjoyment, I could use a nudge in the right direction. I think on this one,
you won't always be a gooner. we will overcome. We will overcome the American mm-hmm. state. We will overcome our local transportation departments through irate and unhinged emails. We will fight back.
Irate and unhinged emails are where this journey starts, if you're the kind of person that sends that sort of an email or wants to. We're building a movement to topple the big money conspiracy, and you're going to be a part of that movement.
No, I mean, it's true. You shouldn't send the hard R word to your public officials, but you should call them murderers because they are. We can close the feedback loop of nobody suffering any consequences for all of this preventable death.
It is, and if we have any faith in the public as a group that has any power, which of course is being challenged right now, but if we believe in that, we're all accountable to it. Public policy making certainly has been bought and rebought by capital time and time again, but if the people are to have any power, we are all somewhat accountable for this. And that's why, you know, sending an angry email to a public servant that is probably trying their best is not the most effective way of moving the needle, but maybe going out and talking to your neighbors and all agreeing and putting up a sign in your neighborhood that says slow the fuck down, like maybe that's the way to start. I don't know, but I do think that it's on us.
No,
it's on all of us to try to move the needle.
I mean, realistically, it's the slow the fuck down signs are always in places that are like the roads are just too wide, right? Parking can really help with traffic calming, like parking, just having a lot of parking on the street by itself reduces the width of the street by like 20 feet. But then it's like, what if you just went out into your communities and started putting big old rocks in the middle of the street? That saves lives. I don't think people clock that, like, if you just block the street, less people will die. And it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, but it's tough. Most people can't risk their livelihoods by doing that, because if they're found out, the state will come after them.
So we go in the night. The gooners in the night will go out and we will block the roads.
Yeah.
We will build gardens and we will build benches and we will build parks. We will take in the curb in the dead of night. And the government will not stop us with their cameras and their surveillance and their technology, because we have rocks and we have the will of the people.
Now that I can get behind. All right. Well, hey, until next week, let's actually record next week. Let's get back on cadence here. I know the listeners are hungry
for
comedy content.
Yeah, they want to gobble this podcast right up. they want to gobble it down their ear holes.
There you go. Exactly. So until next week, give us a like or whatever. Buy merch on roadway.report. Do all the things and help take care of us as we are taking care of you, sweet, sweet listener.
The Gooner Army demands three things: bike lanes, bus hours, and boy pussy. No, but to the folks at home, thank you for your dedicated listenership. We got a lot of content coming. The new 2023 roadway deaths are going to be published in the next probably a week. That'll just, you'll see more fatalities on the website, 40,000 more, hooray! So cool shit to come. The Gooner Army is strong. We will go out into the streets and we will block the roads in the dead of night and overcome the American state. Boy, pussy. Governments, boy, pussy. Governments.
Comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast. Comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!